listen to you sing. You sing very well. And let's see what we all got here. There we go. You sang, first of all, the music of heaven, you know. And really, why are you here this morning? It is because we want to get from here to there to hear that music of heaven, don't we? But then the next song was like we were had to be transformed. And my life was tattered and yours was tattered. We had those old rags on that they like to use to pull Jeremiah up out of the pit. Yeah, we all were tattered. And I don't know where the lady is that gave her testimony this morning, but the Lord bless you for that. There is no greater joy for me than to hear young people come to know the Lord, or any age for that matter. That is the thrill of every parent, it should be, that when your child comes to know the Lord, this call it a feast, you know. This is wonderful. But then the battle is on, you know. Yes, it is. There's a battle. And truly so. Let's just pause for a word of prayer. Father, you want to use this tattered person again to bring forth a message this morning. Lord, may there be fruit from this message that can be honoring to you. Bless each one that is here. Help us, Lord, to understand your word more and better. And help us to be more prepared for your coming again. We pray this all in the worthy name of Jesus. Amen. Title for my message is, Can You Not Watch 1 Hour? Turn with me to Matthew 26, verses 36 to 45. 36 to 45. We shall read. Then cometh Jesus unto them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. And then said he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me, or tarry means to wait. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And he saith unto Peter, What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptations, for the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray thee. Quite a scene, you know, here. The disciples had all entered Gethsemane, and he said, sit here. And so he took a few of his other disciples with him, the close ones. In verse 38, it says, And then he said unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. This was a crucial moment in history, like never before. And Jesus knew what was laying ahead, and he knew what laid ahead for 2025 for souls in grassland, the world over. And as he was looking ahead for the cross that was before him, what he had to do if he wanted to redeem a bride for Jesus Christ this morning, he knew it would cost him his life. He would have to give his life so that you and I could be redeemed this morning from our tattered unworthiness and all that. our sin. A very troubling moment. Death was looming up before him, and so Jesus asked three of his closest friends. He said, "Can you do something for me?" He said, "Tarry, wait, stay around, and watch with me," he said. It wasn't a burdensome request. And Jesus walks a little further away there in verse 39, and he says, "And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed that the grace of God could be merciful to him to carry through to us today." Verse 40, "He cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter," who did he say it to? Peter, yeah. He had some discussions before with Peter, we all know that. But he said, "Peter, what, could you not watch with me 1 hour? Just an hour. Watch with me." Yes. Is that too great a responsibility for a close friend? Just 1 hour to watch? Be awake? Stay there? In verse 41, it says again, "Watch again." But now he has said something else in this verse. He said, "Watch and pray." You know, we can be staying awake or whatever, but in what spirit are we there for? What spirit are we with? Pray. The things that are now happening at that scene, they're so quickly unfolding that you would not fall into temptation the last hour before Christ would be taken out of Gethsemane. Is it not possible that you could stay awake that long? How many of us have fallen asleep while praying? I have to admit, I did already. You know, you're beside your bed and praying, and the Lord must look down and say, "Oh my, he must be really excited about me," you know? Really, we're still human, and the Lord knows that. But what is ticking? What makes us tick this morning? Oh, the Spirit would say, you know, "I'll take your place in Calvary, Evans, Lord," you know, and we might have many nice words too for Jesus Christ. But the flesh and the body here was exhausted. We go to verse 42 and 46. Jesus went away the second time, came back, and they were sleeping. He came the third time, and Jesus came back, and what did he say? He said, "Sleep on, sleep on. If you're not more excited about me than that, sleep on, sleep on." And to me, that shows something that we have to be on guard on this morning, dear people. For Jesus, it meant going to Calvary here. The decision was made. He said, "Not my will, but the will of my Father be done," over a time like this. And if you want to have results this morning, dear people, in your life, while praying, it is best to be awake, indeed, and watching. Those two go together. We say, well, close your eyes when you're praying, right? But there's a watching to do up to the praying, and a watching to do after the praying. And as the centuries have come and gone this morning, the same words still clear: watch and pray. And I believe the hour is at hand this morning that the next great event that is going to take place for the bride of Jesus Christ is this: that he will come again to redeem a bride for him. And this will be a literal bride, a physical bride. And I trust this morning that you can be part of that. We are living in the most exciting moment, I believe, since Jesus Christ went to Calvary and rose again. Yes, indeed. He wants to come to redeem a bride for himself. And I realize people say that we don't know the day or the hour, and truly I agree with that 100%. But we also have to have the ring of what was written, what Peter wrote. In 2 Peter it says this. So you can always follow the word this morning, and there it is. 2 Peter 3:3-4, it says this. Knowing this first, this is the first thing you need to know, according to this, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. So this is nothing new this morning when people are saying, well, what's the deal? My parents used to say that. That there is a day coming when Jesus will come again. Indeed so. Nothing new. I've heard that. But he hasn't come since. So what is my response now? Does this mean that the word isn't true? No, not at all. It means it's closer to the truth than it was when they spoke to me that Jesus Christ is coming again. He said, knowing this first, there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts and desires and things like that. And you can almost hear them laugh in our day. Where is the promise of his coming? Parents talked to me about this already. Like a man recently that I had talked with, he said, well, yeah, we're living in difficult times, he said, you know. But he said to him, it could easily be another 300 years. Again, I don't know the time this morning, but it's a lot closer than that. Indeed, it is. This world is wondering what is going on. You can talk to worldly people more so than church people that say, what is going on in the world? There is no rest. There's confusion in the political world and so forth. And things don't make sense. The scripture says the time would come when right is wrong and wrong is right. And friends, this morning, we're in that age. We're in that time. We're in that hour, as it were. Indeed, we are. The world is wondering. Are you wondering this morning? Jesus is coming for his bride. Are we awake in the last hour, as it were? Are we really awake this morning to see that this world is in chaos? But that just shouldn't scare us. It should only prepare us this morning. Indeed so. Jesus said, I'll come again. And this morning I say, if the bride is asleep and you don't have oil in your lamps, Jesus will also say one thing, sleep on, sleep on. And those are very sad words that we would have to say to us, because there's a time coming when Jesus Christ will come for his bride. And the scripture is as clear as it gets. The bride will be called up. Up has always been up. You know, up. It's very easy for English people to understand that. The bride will be called up. And I ask the question, will he say, sleep on, sleep on? You know, if the bride is asleep and no oil in her lamps, Jesus will also say someday, sleep on. You know, the cares of your business and the things that you love in this world this morning, what is it? Is that making you sleepy because you love the things that this world has to offer and you get drowsy? Whatever those cares may all be. Like they said back in COVID, you know, we all remember those days, you know, that, we'll get through it. We'll get through it, and it's going to be better than before. You know, it's going to be the good life. Turn with me to Matthew 16. Matthew chapter 16, and we'll read from the verse 1-4. The Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Oh, yes, you know, Lord, show us when you're coming, right? Come on, Lord. We need to have a clearer sign than what we have now. When are you coming? This is what he said. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And the morning it will be foul weather, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the times of the signs of the times? A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall be no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonah. And he left them and departed. And departed. I was already taught from a boy that the sky is red at night. It's a sailor's delight. If the sky is red in the morning, look out, look out. Yeah, farmers, better get that hay in real quick, you know. Yeah. That's been a basic for, and that goes right back to this scripture here. In Luke 12, it would confirm that too. It says when the clouds come from the west, there comes a shower. Or when the wind comes from the south, it brings heat, you know. And then we go on. These are all things that are happening to show the last hour. We turn to Revelations 13. And what does the word say there? It says in Revelations 3, it says here that 1 to 5. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know thy works. Thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast, and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee I can't even make out the word here this morning. And thou shalt not know what hour I shall come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I shall not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before the angels. I know thy works, he said. I know all about you. I know thy name. It is well known. It's a Mennonite name in this town here. And a Baptist, too. Boy, you've got a double portion there. Yeah. You can be Baptist, you can be Lutheran this morning, wherever you fit in. But he said, thy works are dead. And that's a very sobering thought. This morning, the Lord isn't as much interested in what name you carry, in what life you have within, if you've been transformed or not. That makes the difference. In verse 2 of this chapter here, it says again, be watchful, be alert, be prayerful. In verse 3, it says, if you are not watchful, this is what happens. I will come at an hour when you can keep on sleeping. I won't disturb your sleep. And we go back to Gethsemane. Jesus said, can you not watch 1 hour with me? Because things are going to get exciting. Yeah. He won't go to the cross again, no. But he'll come for the redeemed, blood-washed saints of Jesus Christ, and then we'll have the music of heaven and the last song we wrote about heaven. I mean, don't you want to go there? To me, those songs makes it exciting to think that for you, as ragged and torn and shipwrecked as we were, that we have a promise that Jesus is coming for us again. Friends, get excited. Start living the Christian life and be awake. Be awake. We are in very difficult times. Paul wrote to the Corinthians there, when he talked about communion. He said, there's some of you that are weak, and some of you are sleeping. And if you're sleeping, friends, you're not ready to commune with God. You're not ready to take that bread, as it were, and put it in your mouth in remembrance of what Jesus Christ has done, because a sleeping person doesn't do that. Would he say, sleep on, because you don't even remember what I've done for you on Calvary? Friends, this morning, it'll hit you right in the heart. There are many inside church doors asleep. There are many inside church doors dreaming about the business of tomorrow, or the holidays you're going to take, or the pleasure and the sports that you may all like to give, not giving one thought that it says in Acts 1, he said, as you have seen me go, the angel said about Jesus Christ, as you have seen me go, I will come again. I will come again in an hour that you are either watching or sleeping. We can get into different circles this morning. I've been in many different churches over the years. And one thing I found about youth, commend you for it. I don't know if you're that way here or not. But there's something in youth that are interested in things that are happening now in the world, more so than in older ones. Why? Well, the older ones may have your business and millions invested and on and on and you're so forth, you know. But for the young person, if you're really honest with yourself and look out and see what's going on in the world, you'll have to realize there's something weird going on. And that should make you search. Go back to the scripture. What is this all about? And that's what young people are starting to do. They're asking the question, is there not an answer to the dilemma that we're in today? And by all means, there is. It boils down to Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Some may think you're in the tribulation already. Then it is because you have a strange doctrine. Because the tribulation is not now. Friends, according to Luke 21, let's go back to Luke 21. It says here, 7 and 8. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be, and what sign shall there be when these things shall come to pass? Again, asking for another sign. And remember, there's no sign given when Jesus Christ comes. There will be signs given once the judgment or when the tribulation starts. Yes, there will, many a signs. In verse 8, he'd say, take heed. That means watch, wake, be awake, that ye be not deceived, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. There are times, and we're living in those times, when many are saying they are Christ, as it were. You go to some of these big tele-evangelists, and their doctrine is so far off, and yet they have maybe three services in the morning and everything else. But friends, what are they preaching? It's a false doctrine. We have to know where we stand this morning in those areas. It says, take heed, and that means you're watchful. When a people say and believe in replacement theology and things like that, that the church has replaced Israel, then go back to the Word of God, because it's very clear there that Israel is Israel, the church is Jesus Christ, we're the bride. Hallelujah for that indeed. And if you don't believe that, read Romans 9, chapter 9, read Romans 10, read Romans 11, read it carefully, read it prayerfully, it's in there. Because Paul said, my heart's desire, my prayer within is that Israel, the nation, and its people could be saved. They were still existing in Paul's time. They're still existing in our time, dear people. Yes, they are. And they are separate from the church of Jesus Christ. God has something to do with them yet. Yes, he will. Read the history. Read Justin Martyr in 100 to 165 AD. He was one of the early ones that brought some of this false doctrine in. He already wrote, "The Jews have forfeited the scripture, and the prophets are now the property of the church." Guess again, you know. And this has plagued the church, especially through our Roman Catholicism history, what we have brought along. Start believing this morning in a literal coming of Jesus Christ. And I trust that you all believe that Jesus Christ someday will come literally. And what will he do? He'll come for a literal bride. Scripture's very clear. If you're alive, he'll come for a physical bride. Change indeed. Yes, indeed. He will come for a literal bride. And I didn't say a liberal bride. There's a big difference. A big difference. He is coming again for those that are walking according to the Word of God. Yes, indeed. And then after that, the 7-year tribulation, and it's a literal tribulation to get a literal Israel's attention to get right with God. Those 7 years, I mean, tremendous time when God, in his lovable mercy, is crying out to his own people, "Won't you come?" Again, they have to accept Jesus Christ. There's no other way into heaven this morning. We have to keep that clear. In verse 9 of this chapter here, in 21, it says, "But when ye shall hear," okay, what are we hearing this morning? "When ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by." It's coming. It's coming. Keep praying. It's coming. Yes, indeed, it is. Okay, what are you hearing? Wars, yeah. Rumors of wars, oh yes, China, Taiwan. We know of Russia right now and Ukraine. They say about 1 million people, Russian young men have died in the war. 700,000 Ukrainian young men have died in war, or older ones too. That is a lot of people. That has affected a lot of families. We're sitting here this morning so blessed. This is affecting many, many people. Wars, indeed. Sad, indeed. In fact, there are only 268 years in history that there wasn't a war. We'd say, come on, people, get with it. You know, you're better than animals, aren't you? But really, many times worse than animals. Yeah. Commotions. A lot of planning going on. Bill Gates and his buddies, you know, saying that there could be another pandemic. And it's interesting how some of these prophets can predict happenings to make profit. Billions of dollars. This is what it's all about by a lot of those people. This morning, don't be terrified. And I realize some of these words were written for the Jews. Yes, indeed. The things that are happening now is not the tribulation. It's only going to get worse. That doesn't sound comforting, does it? You know the Savior, don't you? That makes all the difference. I mean, I love talking about these things, but I go to bed and I sleep at night. Yeah. Because these things happen. If it's written, it'll happen. So you can pray all you want, in other words, and it's still going to happen. Because this is the final authority, whether we understand it or not. We're not in the tribulation because Second Thessalonians, what does it say there? That sort of is the proof in the pudding, like they say. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 5 and 9. "Remember ye not," is Paul writing, "don't you remember what I told you in other letters? When I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know," you should know, "with No, that what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. We agree. Iniquity is all over abounding. Only he who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And who is he? It is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is living within you, I trust, this morning. If not, then repent and get right. Get them, let them in. Let them in. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Yes. Many antichrists already in the world today and at work, but as long as the Holy Spirit and the bride are here, not taken out, the antichrist will not be revealed. Is he already born? Likely. Likely, because we are in the last hour. Are we praying? Are we watchful? We're called to do that this morning. When I was in Switzerland, we were in Switzerland the other year. We were an hour and a half away from Davos, Switzerland, and the carnality within me said, let's go to Davos so I could come home and tell you I was there. You know, what goes on there? Maybe some of you don't know. I wouldn't have gone for that. They would have taken my advice. No, I realize that. They wouldn't have liked that at all. But it's where the World Economic Forum meets yearly. And they had 55 head of states meet, hundreds of CEOs, bankers, and all those things. The FBI is there, and you go on and on. Recently, the World Economic Forum said that they want to use AI, artificial intelligence. They want to make an AI, and this is not talking about the city AI where Joshua couldn't conquer. No, this is talking about the artificial intelligence can't be conquered either unless you have a changed heart. But they want an AI Bible, rewritten, compatible, globalized, that all religions can take it. But what did the words of Jesus say? He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto me but by me. That's the words of Jesus. There's no other way, no matter if you have an AI Bible, I trust you don't, better not. There's no other way than through Jesus Christ this morning. The World Economic Forum said already over a year ago, this is a year to start the one world government. Are we afraid to hear that word this morning? We know where it's leading, if you know the word. Yes, we do. 196 nations had gathered to vote on letting WHO, the World Health Organization, be in control over every country and its leaders to call the shots, or give the shots, in other words, you know, under the name of science and health. Do we see where we're heading this morning? The world is talking about this, and we in the church want to dig our heads in the sand and say, no, we're going to have the good old life. On and on it goes. You know, drink your coffee, whatever. We're going to keep on. It is not going to keep on like this, friends. Wake up this morning. Be watchful and be prayerful like the scripture says. At present, they are working on a universal health card, and our former prime minister was a great fan of that. Yes. The J.P. Morgan banks, the biggest banks around, all the financial institutions in the U.S. say we need something implanted in people better than any cards or codes that can be given. And this morning, just this past week, what did Bill Gates say? He said, get rid of your cell phones. Why? Because they're becoming obsolete. He has something in mind, the richest man in the world, or maybe it's the second one, it's up there anyway. What is he saying? There's something that we need more than a cell phone. The cell phone, they can track you, do everything on that. Are we awake this morning to know that we are in the last hour? It's all happening. The question is asked, what is the difference between a conspiracy and truth? Wait 6 months. It's the same. Yeah. Klaus Schwab, leader of the World Economic Forum, said he likes when young people come to the scene like our former prime minister. And when I say that, we're called to pray for our leaders, just like we heard in Sunday school. Keep praying. That's our duty. Indeed it is. But he also said then that half of the cabinet believe this too. This is where our country is at. Our leaders are heading for the one world system. Do we see what is happening when dictators or communism or global control takes over? It is done through education, manipulation, and starvation. Look what goes on in our schools, puppy schools. If we are aware of what the Word says this morning, then we believe the propaganda. Then we will not believe the propaganda that is out there. We can hear Romans 13 over and over again about obeying your rulers, yes. But as ungodly governments are more and more at work all over, in fact, it almost seems that's what politics is about, ungodliness. They make some good decisions, I realize, but it is all being made gray this morning. You go back to Russia, Ukraine, when they took Ukraine there, when Stalin worked, what was it, some 5 million people that were starved, and he got the whole country to walk after him. Yeah. All these things should make us sit up and watch and pray. Time is moving on this morning. That's the same as back there. Okay, I'll skip some of this. We can go on and on. The false prophet, the Antichrist. In fact, we are heading towards a one world government. We're heading towards a one world financial system, however that will all be brought forth, and we're heading towards a one world religion. Very easy to see in the day we're in. You go to Revelation 13, it talks about that everybody will receive a mark, a literal mark, by the way, indeed. It'll be on your head or on your hand. A very smart move, really. Sometimes I think if I wouldn't be a Christian, I'd go for it right away. Because get rid of all these cards which you lose and everything else can get stolen. Why not just, hey, it's all on here. What do you want to know about me? Scan it. Total control of humanity. And the scripture says, can you not watch 1 hour? The last hour, as it were. Praying for the soon return of Christ. Being in readiness. Luke 21. Go back there again to Luke 21. I have to condense this real quick here. Might as well be fired. Luke 21, where are we? 10 and 11. 10 and 11. It says here, then said he unto them, nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, various places, and famine and pestilence and fearful sights. And great signs shall there be from heaven. We could go on and on in that chapter. These things will happen, and it's going to happen in the tribulation for sure. It says in the end of the end times, things are happening now, and they're all pointing in one direction. Just this past week, earthquake again. Nobody talks about it because there are not many killed, only 800, 2,000 injured. This is getting so common that that doesn't hit the news unless a person gets killed in Israel. Remember, we're in the times when no news. Oh, how does it go again? What was that? No news is, I was thinking of somebody else, thanks anyway. It's no news unless it's about the Jews. Yeah. things are going to happen. We could go to Ezekiel 38, a beautiful chapter, a sad chapter of what's going to happen. Is happening already in a certain where the nations are come together. Just last week, China, Russia, North Korea together, all three very powerful communist countries. Friends, enjoy your freedom today. Go home and thank the Lord for freedom. Go home and pray for the leaders of our country that they could continue to give us this freedom to enjoy for this movement. These things will change. I'm no prophet. I just go by the word of God. It talks about the countries that will be coming against Israel. And it talks about Russia. It talks about Libya. It talks about Sudan and Central and Gober, Central Turkey, Tokamar and Eastern Turkey. And this war could happen at any time. And what is the problem there? It's because as long as Israel is in the nation, then God's promise is true. The world is hating Israel, even in our country. Anti-Semitism is going up 100%, 200% more. They hate Israel, the world hates Israel, because they believe in a God. The same God that the Christians do, but sad to say, they leave Jesus Christ out. And that's what the tribulation is for, to remind them. And he's going to put them through the mill like never before to get their attention that I am here as soon as you want to come. A beautiful threat of the mercy of God. Friends, these things are going to happen. You know, the former world champion, Schwarzenegger, he was a bodybuilder and was a governor of California. And they asked him about his future. I guess he's still alive. And he said, future? Nothing. I'll go 6 feet under, and everybody else is a liar. And they asked him about his soul. Well, he said, I don't care about a soul. What's that got to do with it? Friends, he will care. That's shocking words from a very powerful man when it comes to muscle and everything else. So Klaus Schwab, right-hand man, I heard him say this. He said, Jesus is fake news. And saying with the new AI, we can make something better than God. Total blasphemy. But you know, this is the mentality of the political world in our day, that we want to get away from God. I am smarter than God, and I can do it. All said and done, what does it say in 1 John 3? Beautiful words. It said here, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. And I trust this morning you can be called that. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't all know those things, you know. But it goes on to say, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a tremendous reunion that will be. And then it goes on for us to keep working. And every man that has this hope in Jesus Christ this morning, that has this hope that he's coming again, and that has this hope that he is awake and watching, not sleeping, purifieth himself even as he is pure. This morning, are you pure? Have you been watching? Are you staying awake in your life this morning? Do you have this hope that you'll be with Jesus Christ like that last song we sung about heaven? Oh, can we go? Yeah. Does that bring a smile across your face to think there's a better place awaiting than this old earth? Yeah. Luke 21 there again, take heed. This is all coming closer, what I told you, and I didn't get into it really hardly, but be that as may. Yeah, but it's closer than you think. Yeah. It's closer than you think. Watch. Can you not watch and pray for the hour that is coming? But like it says there in Luke, it says that ye can be accounted worthy to what? To escape all these things that are going to come on this earth. And that is talking about the blessed hope. And 1 Thessalonians 4 says we'll be called up to meet him in the air. It's talking about the blessed hope in 1 Corinthians 15. Where it says you can be changed in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye you can be changed. It is talking about the blessed hope. In John 14, when he said, Jesus' own words, he said, I'm going to come again. I'm going to come again. And if you've been watchful, if you've been praying, he said, I'm going to take you. I'm not going to come and stay with you. That old world isn't too good. But what is he going to do? He said, I'm going to take you to where I am. I'm going to take you where I build my mansion. I'm taking you to myself. A prepared place this morning for a prepared people for all eternity to be with Jesus. Look up this morning, for our redemption draweth nigh, does it not? The poet said it this way, Lamb of God, thy faithful promise says, Behold, I quickly come. And our hearts to thee responsive cry, Come, Lord, and take us home. Oh, the rapture that awaits us when we meet thee in the air and with thee ascend in triumph all thy deepest joys to share. Lamb of God, when thou in glory shalt to this sad earth return, all thy foes shall quake before thee, all who now despise thee mourn. Then shall we, at thine appearing, with thee in thy kingdom reign, thine the praise and thine the glory, Lamb of God, for sinners slain. What a day that shall be, yes. Do I have prayer now or later? Do I have prayer? Okay. Shall we stand for prayer?